Welcome to Sitting Around Talking Movies, and this year, like last year, we're on location at the Hampton International Film Festival. It's the 24th year, and ta-da. I'm joined, as always, by Bill Brigoli.
Listen to the crickets in the background.
That's true.
It's real.
Right, it's real.
That's not a Hollywood effect. Hi. We watch the bad movies so you don't have to, but we're not watching very many bad ones this weekend at the Hamptons Film Festival because there's a lot of great stuff here.
There is. Tell us about some of the things that are at the festival, Bill.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing. There's a lot here that I haven't seen. One that I have is called Christine, about a woman who kills herself on the air.
And that's a true story.
True story,
yeah.
It's a newscaster in Florida at a small market station, and she's played by Rebecca Hall. Her turn is amazing. That's here, as well as some of the stars. La La Land, which I'm dying to see, because I'm more of a musical guy than you are. This is the big musical that Ryan Gosling stars in, and they say is, and Emma Stone. Emma Stone or Anna Kendrick? I get them confused.
Emma Stone.
Okay. Emma's the one not as funny on Twitter. So, so that's here, and I'm dying to see that. And there are a lot of little movies, which we're going to talk about in a second, including one with Aaron Eckhart.
Well, Aaron Eckhart, who I spoke to yesterday, we're here at the Maidstone, which is the...
The Maidstone Arms.
The Maidstone Arms, which is the headquarters for the Hampton
Not to
Film
be confused
Festival.
With the snooty Maidstone Golf Club down the street.
And yesterday...
I like to say, this is the Maidstone Jews can get into.
That's funny. And yesterday, I don't know about that. And yes, as a Jew, I don't know if I could check in. But, yesterday we were... I was at the Maidstone, and Aaron Eckhart, who's in this movie called Bleed for This...
with Miles Teller.
Which is Miles Teller plays a boxer,
film.
And
yeah.
Aaron Eckhart, I guess, is his trainer.
Yeah, corner guy.
Trainer, manager, yeah. Whatever you want to call him. And, you know, I haven't seen the film yet, but he stopped by here and I spoke
when
to him.
When does that ever stop us?
And here's how that went. I'm here with Aaron Eckhart, the great Aaron Eckhart. So tell me... Tell me a little bit about the movie that you have at the Hampton Film Festival today. It's a boxing movie.
Yes, we're here with Bleed for This, which is the story of Vinny Pazienza, a boxer out of Rhode Island, five-time champ, who at the height of his career was in a car accident and broke his neck and had a halo screwed into his head. And within a year after removing the halo, and even with the halo on, he started training. He became middleweight champion of the world. So it's an inspirational story. It's a story about believing in yourself, story about family, and, you know, all the doubters out there, the families, the doctors, the trainer. I play Kevin Rooney, his trainer, who told him he couldn't box again. He had such a belief in himself and a will to box that he trained himself and became middleweight champion of the world.
Where did you shoot the movie?
We shot it in Rhode Island. It's a Rhode Island story, so we were based in Providence, and then we shot all around there in the Italian neighborhoods, you know, with all of the people that grew up with Vinny, you know, all of the people who supported him. Chad Verity is the producer who took this story, a personal friend of Vinny's, and made this thing happen. So we had all the character of Providence, Rhode Island, which was wonderful because we were in the neighborhoods, we're in the streets, we're in the actual places where he boxed, he won titles. And so when we were making the movie and going down the street, I mean, people love Vinny Pazienza. So they gave us all the support of the city, and it was, you know, he's such a character, this guy. This is a guy that lives on the edge every single day. Not only does he get in the ring, but he's a brawler, first of all, and he does not quit, and he does the same in his real life, and to this day.
What do you think it is about boxing films? You know, there's, like, if you look at the history of movies... The boxing, we just did a boxing film on my show, which name escapes me, but it recently came out.
Hands of Stone.
Yes, Hands of Stone. And if you look at the history of movies, for example, Kirk Douglas in Champion,
yeah.
John Garfield was in a boxing movie, Paul Newman, Somebody Up There Likes Me, Sylvester Stallone, it was his showcase film when he came out with Rocky. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look historically, it's a genre... If you look at any other sports, like football, baseball, it does not carry through all the... But boxing, you could go decade by decade. And William Holden, the Golden Boy, they launch... These boxing films not only launch careers, but people just love... There's something about boxing film. People just love that story.
It's the most primal story you can tell. A gladiator movie, guy getting in the ring against all odds, letting somebody beat him to death, and trying to beat the other guy. There's nothing that's more primal than that. It takes all the courage to get in the ring... it takes great skill and technique, And I guess it's a place where men can be men.
Tell me about your particular role in the film.
I play Kevin Rooney, who was a fighter. He was an actual fighter himself, who trained with Customato, one of the greatest boxing instructors. And Cus one day came to Kevin Rooney and said, hey, I want you to give up your career, and I want you to train another one of my fighters, Mike Tyson. And reluctantly, Kevin Rooney became Tyson's trainer. Not reluctantly, but he had to give up his own career. And in fact, he continued to fight as he was training Tyson. They rose to the top. They became fast friends, and they were inseparable. They went to the top. Mike Tyson then takes on Don King, and Kevin Rooney's out. And he feels betrayed. And he starts to drink. He lets himself go. He starts to gamble too much. He just becomes depressed. He's at the bottom of his game now. Vinny Pazienza just loses a big fight, and his promoter says to him, he says, I think you should give up the game. And so you have two heroes at the bottom of the game who've been up and now are at the bottom, and they come back up together against all odds.
Are you a boxing fan?
Love it. Love it. Been boxing for 20 years.
You've been boxing
yeah.
for 20 years? Really?
Not in the ring, but when I did a movie, Aaron Brockovich, and I had to get into shape, I said to myself, well, I'm not going to waste myself away in the gym doing weights and stuff like that. I'm going to learn a skill. And so for 20 years, I've been boxing on and off, and I love getting in the ring. I love being around it. I love being around the characters. For this movie, the great Freddie Roach allowed me to be in his camp with Pacquiao when he was fighting Bradley. So every day I would go to Pacquiao's camp. I would sit there, fly on the wall, watch how Freddie worked with Pacquiao, how he wrapped his hands, how he talked to him in the ring, how he did the mitts with him. And then I went to the fight, and I was with Pacquiao before and after the fight. I was ringside with Lampley, and that's how I got into this movie.
Last question. Have you ever been out at the Hampton Film Festival before? And have you ever spent any time out in the Hamptons?
None
today?
Whatsoever.
This is your first visit to
the Hamptons? Yeah, I cut my teeth in the 90s in New York, and I guess I just, I'd heard of the Hamptons, but I never
Everybody's heard of the Hamptons.
I was never I was never cool enough to come out here, I guess. But it's a beautiful day. I love it out here. I took a run on the beach. I went swimming this morning in the ocean.
What beach did you go to?
Right out here.
Down in East Hampton.
Right out in front of our hotel.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
I think that's East Hampton, Main Beach. But
yeah,
okay.
It's beautiful. And had a great time. I love it. The Hamptons Film Festival has been so nice to me. I'm staying at the Maidstone Hotel. It's wonderful. I'm in the Karen Blixen room from out of Africa, and happy to do so. And so now we're going to go show the film and introduce the film, and I'm having a great time.
I'm going to see the film this afternoon, so I look forward to it. And thanks, Aaron, as well.
All right,
pleasure. Thanks so much. Back live here at the Maidstone Arms at the 24th annual Hampton Film Festival, and I am talking. We're about to talk to a lovely actress named Darine Hamzy. Well, I couldn't have gotten that wrong, more wrong. And she is the star of
It's live, and we prove it every
that's
day.
It's playing out here called Halal, Love and Sex. So why don't you tell us about your movie, which is you told me a little bit before we went on the air about it, and it sounds unusual and interesting.
Yes, Neil. How are you? Hi, Bill.
Hey.
Hi, everyone. Indeed it is peculiar because you never get like this combination of halal, which is like kosher for Islam, and the rules of okay to do and not to do's in religion and marriage and sex. And at the same time, it's a comedy, so that's not, you don't see that usually.
So you're seeing the Islamic rules of
marriage.
Of marriage and the sexual.
Yes.
What are the pardon my ignorance, what are the Islamic rules of sex and marriage?
Well, yeah, you have to watch
Go
the
slowly.
Movie.
Slowly. There must be
actually they get to marry four women, which is the really like
Shut up.
Yes.
What do you
mean? Should watch
each
the movie.
Guy gets four women?
Yes, it's very like
what is this,
see,
like
it's
a polygamy
very
like
it's a setup for the 72 virgins? Or
well, that's like the
that's
fanatic
different.
Version
okay,
of like
sorry.
Yeah, but yeah, it's weird.
With four.
You have a lot of
do the math.
Sects, you know, like sects, religious
groups. S-E-C-T-S, sects.
Oh, sects.
Yeah.
S-E-C-T-S.
Yes.
Yeah, so this movie is kind of the joy of sects. S-E-C-T-S.
Well, it's like, mainly it's dominated by women, and you have three partners, three couples, and I'm one of them. And you see different rules according to these like stories that you see.
Can you tell us
which is mine.
As a teaser, can you tell us like one of the rules?
Yeah, my character is Lubna. She's like a divorcee. And she was... she can get divorced.
Clearly you don't know the rules,
Neil. Yeah, you don't know the rules, Neil.
We saw that film recently where it was impossible to get in the Middle East to
get
a divorce.
Yes, you have.
Oh, right.
The woman. Jewish religion, you have to get a get.
Right.
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of similar stuff between Jews and Islam as Muslims, because they have this thing with the woman when she has her period, for instance. She cannot pray. She cannot go near the kitchen. So they have like a... I guess it's because it stems from this
area. Is that depicted in the movie? Is that one of the...
No, okay. But we also have like halal, which is like kosher. There's rules to it. But it's funny because every sect in Islam has its own like rules. But the basic ones are... So this is a woman, like Lubna, she gets divorced. And this is one of the sects has like a short-term marriage agreement. So she can like... have a marriage for secret marriage with a guy. It's usually made for women who are divorced or widows. Because they think of them like, you know, she needs her sexual life. So we have to come up with
a rule. So do you have a secret marriage in this?
So I do a secret marriage with a guy. And then I discover that I'm not in love with him. And he wants to continue the secret marriage. And it's very funny because like coming from the Middle East. Okay, I'm a Muslim. I'm from a very small sect, which is Shia, and I'm very liberal. I'm from a modern family, so we don't practice. So I believe like my own religion is like peace, and like I believe in more like a new age, modern, like maybe sure. God is in the trees, whatever, like, and more like into Buddhism.
Kind of like Unitarians.
Yes, maybe, yeah. So,
but not sacrilegious
it's so
to make a comedy about it. In other words, you were able
but
to get over that.
I have friends and, like uh-huh. that, and I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, you don't have to do because. And then she says, no, you know, society. And what if I get pregnant? What am I gonna do? At least if I do that, he's gonna say it's his kid. And in Lebanon, if a woman has a baby, she can't register the child in her name. So he's a bastard. Only the men can do that. So it's very, I think it's a very
I think it's still like that in Wisconsin.
Dominant
so,
society.
Was this shot over there?
It was shot over there. The producers were German. The director was also the writer. So he was really interested in showing the Muslim women.
The director's
women.
Calling right now, and he wants some of it.
I'm going to silence this.
So
as I said, we're
funny.
Live and we prove it. So very unusual to be shot over there. And then is this the first festival for the film?
No, we were in the States. It was Sundance Film Festival. The crowd really liked it. They thought it was nice to see like a Mediterranean, a Middle Eastern film about like halal and love without a woman crying or being subjected to like cruel laws of Islam.
Or stoned.
So
you know
what would
have been a better title for this movie? Sects and Sex.
Wow.
Mm. Well, yeah,
wow. He's good.
Yeah. But halal, you know, it's also like the Muslim stuff, like rules and stuff. So it's peculiar about Islam. And you see that
it's
Lebanese
funny.
Woman. Yeah, because like, okay, I'm going to tell you one of the couples. There's a woman because you get to have like these rules are not usually done. Like it's very old for a man to see like have four women, except if it's the really rich in the Gulf areas, they do. They have like four houses, four women, four Porsches. That's really like
this
extreme.
It's like an HBO show.
Yeah,
sister wives.
It actually sounds more like the Hamptons.
With Bill Paxton.
Oh, Big Love.
Big love, yeah.
So in Beirut, you don't see that often because, like, it's not more modern and, like, simple. So, but you have the rule to do it if you want to do it. So one of the couples is a woman that's really tired of her husband always wanting sex all the time. And there's a rule that she has to give him sex, you know? It's like a marriage thing.
Is my wife in this movie?
It's one of
the
rules.
Continue.
So she...
idea.
So she says, okay, let's get another woman, because you can have another woman, so she can help me with the kids, help me with the housework, and you know, like, help me.
She doesn't have to have sex.
Exactly. So right. You can have her.
And they pick her together? They like, audition?
And that's what happens. Yeah. So, like, people were like, this is so unreal. And it happens sometimes. So it's funny.
So these stories are told separately? They're like little vignettes in the movie, and you're starring in one of those, did you say, four vignettes?
Yes, interlinks in a way, but, like, yeah.
Now, what's the future then? So you've come here. You've been to Sundance. Mm-hmm. Has it been picked up by anyone yet?
Yes. It's been shown in
Congratulations.
Paris. Congratulations.
It's in German with if you watch it in America, it's in German with English subtitles.
No, actually, it's Lebanese. The dialect is Lebanese.
Oh, but it's financed, but you said it was a German.
Yes,
German
yes. It's produced by the German Razor Film. Yeah.
So,
they also did the Paradise Now.
With English subtitles.
And when can we see it in the United States? Do we have any kind of a plan for that release
today
now?
At 5:45.
Yes, I know. Here at the Film Festival.
We're recording the show on Saturday. It is the
October 8th, isn't it?
Yeah. October.
It's the 8th.
But I mean,
October.
Will it roll out in the States, or how about, you know, we talk a lot about video on demand on our show, so is it likely that it's going to show up there?
I think so. Since it's been like two main festivals here, so I think they're going to like ask for it. Yeah.
Halal love.
Love. Yes. And sex.
And sex.
You were
and
in,
sex.
You were
and
in another movie that you were telling me.
Yes, I was in another movie which was banned in Lebanon. It's called Beirut Hotel.
Why was it banned in Lebanon?
Well, it was banned because first it was a love story between a French guy who they think is a spy, and he's like going to Syria and back to Lebanon, and he falls in love with this singer.
Who's in that?
Charles Berling. Charles Berling. So,
have I seen this movie?
She's in this movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was
oh, right.
Cast, so.
I'd have remembered that. Never
I'm
mind.
The
sorry.
Yeah, Irene is in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it
okay.
was banned because it
yes,
talks
I think
about.
We did see the movie, Bill. Yeah. I think we did. We see like 20 movies a week. So it's
likely we saw it.
I don't know how you can do it. I don't know.
Well, welcome to the Hampton Film Festival. Thanks
you.
For dropping by.
I want to hear a little bit more about the
yeah, what was the band? It was banned for politics?
It was banned because of politics, exactly. The guy in the movie, the main character, the French guy, wants to know, he sees a guy who has information about who killed Hariri, the prime minister. And then you see that the government tells him, like, they killed the guy who knows the information and tell the French spy, like, never come back here. So the government was like, you can't show that. We don't know who killed Hariri. And she's like, so why are you worried about it? It's just a movie. And he's like, no, you remove everything about the prime minister assassination or it's not going to be shown. And she didn't, the director, Daniel Arbid.
Well, now that's the movie we want to see.
So
forget Halal Love.
No, I want to see Halal Love.
This is funny. Okay. It's like,
is there graphic nudity and sex in this?
This
Halal
one,
Love?
No. But you see, like, we talk about, like, the woman that wants another wife to come in, you see him trying to have sex with her, and she's like tired, and so you see like a little bit of that, but like.
What were you saying about your wife being in?
No, please don't bring that up again. I want to remain married
see,
at the end of this.
It's an international thing.
Yes,
you know?
Yes,
you,
yes.
You can relate to any situation.
Well, and here it is at the Hamptons International Film Festival, where the crowds are gathering just over our hedge, and it's getting a little noisy here, but we are. Thrilled you came by. We're toasting because we both
thank
have it.
And
Doreen, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes,
thank
Doreen,
you.
Thank you. We look forward to seeing you. The movie again is called
Halal Love,
which
sex.
Is means love and sex. Yeah. And we're here with Doreen
Hamzy. Yeah.
Very beautiful and
nice
talented
to meet
Doreen.
You guys.
She's her own interpreter. She actually brings her own explanation for how her name
thank
is.
You thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're back. Bill, take it away.
Joining us now, and we're excited, is the director of a documentary called Supergirl, and it's getting its world premiere here. This is the lovely Jessie Arret, and she was moving her name tag around a lot, and it was difficult to read. I'm in a coma because basically I have a cold.
Okay, so
anyway,
this is premiering
Supergirl is premiering here. It's a documentary that's pretty cool. So you must be excited. Tell us a little bit about what the film is because it's a fascinating subject.
Sure. Yeah, we are super excited to have the world premiere here.
Super excited.
Yes. Try to use the word super as much as possible in all explanations about the
film. We'll try not to be kryptonite to your press tour.
Yeah. So Supergirl is a feature documentary that tells the coming-of-age story of Naomi Supergirl Cutten, who is an 11-year-old modern Orthodox Jewish girl and world record-holding powerlifter.
World record-holding...
powerlifter, which is a form of weightlifter. Yeah.
In her division or, like, of anybody?
So she competes by weight class. So
right.
Her world records were in the 97-pound weight class initially, and that was competing against adult women. So
she weighs 97 pounds, or she can lift 97 pounds?
Oh, she lifts almost
she
three
lifts
times
like three, yeah,
that
she
amount.
Can lift, yeah, okay, great.
So she, but in the weight class she was competing in when we started filming was 97-pound weight class. So she had to weigh under 97 pounds.
And where is she from?
She's from Northern New Jersey.
And how did she get into this particular sport?
Well, actually, her father has been a competitive weightlifter since college, and they had a gym in their basement, and she would watch him while growing up and really wanted to do it. So when she was 8 years old, she wanted to train with him, and he, you know, showed her the ropes, and it kind of took off from there.
What kind of things does she have to overcome to do this? I mean,
well, she can't compete on Saturdays.
All right, that's
whenever,
part of it.
Right. There are any tournaments held
in fact,
on Friday
she's not
night
here today.
Saturday day.
Yeah.
I'm sure, right, she couldn't be here today.
She's not here today.
Yeah.
She's
obviously
here tomorrow.
Not.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were telling us before the interview that she's coming tomorrow, but will she lift some weight tomorrow on the red carpet?
Unfortunately, no. I don't think we brought the weights to do a demo, but that actually is a great idea.
Could she take me in a bar fight? Let's be honest.
I would say she could take the three of you.
Ouch. Yeah.
So how do you come to how do,
wish
you,
I could
how
act
do
surprised.
You come to direct something like this? Like,
yeah, how'd
how
you find the story?
How did this subject matter find you? Or how did you come to this subject matter?
Yeah, well, I first read about Naomi in an article online when she had set a world record at 10 years old, and that kind of created some media buzz. So she had been in some local papers all the way up to national television shows at the time I learned about her, and I was really intrigued by the fact that, you know, this little girl was competing in this kind of, you know, little strange sport. At least it was strange to me at the time. Not only was she beating women three and four times her age, but also the fact that she was modern Orthodox Jewish really intrigued me, because what I knew of that religion, they're
But modern Orthodox, I mean, as a Jew myself, mm-hmm. I know that modern Orthodox is not like Hasidic,
no.
Where they're wearing the wigs and it's that close-knit community. I mean, I know modern Orthodox Jews and other
but they're also not lifting weights as a rule.
No, they're not lifting weights,
not
but other than, I mean, they're not, right, like during the week, you wouldn't eat, like, you would recognize a Hasidic woman or a Hasidic man, mm-hmm. but during the week, when it's if it's not a holiday, they would just blend into society. You would not know that they were were modern Orthodox.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. But there are some things that, you know, they do observe, like you already mentioned, observing the Sabbath. They keep kosher. And another thing that did sort of run up against some issues with her weightlifting in particular was the dress code. So they typically, their traditional gender roles, and women wear skirts to their knees traditionally and cover their elbows. But when she lifts, she has to wear a wrestling singlet, which, you know, is form-fitting.
Like a leotard, right? Yeah, or like
exactly.
A one-piece.
Now, are you Jewish?
Yeah, I am Jewish.
Okay,
yes.
So you were attracted to the subject matter in that regard also being... But I'm guessing that you're probably like a Reform Jew.
Yeah, I grew up very secular, non-practicing.
Where did you... Were you... Sorry.
I grew up outside Philadelphia.
And were you able to shoot her on Saturday? Were you able to... No. You
no,
had to observe...
No, so that... Uh-huh. We discussed that with the family, and she doesn't compete on Saturdays. They really observe that day of rest, so there were
but
no
But they
cameras.
Can't do anything mechanical or
no,
right? So,
no.
But they could allow you to bring a camera in and shoot, no?
So we spoke about that, because, you know, I think that is a tricky issue that maybe the Torah doesn't have defined. Like, can you be in a documentary
video assist?
On Saturday?
No.
Like, they didn't... Right.
Were there any
in the Old Testament?
Were there any rights issues with the title of the film, considering there's a, I believe it's on the CW. I'm not sure. The Supergirl.
Yeah, she's in the CW.
CW.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, and then there's
it's somewhere on television.
DC
sure, that's
Comics,
a great question.
Which is owned by Warner, you know, owns the rights to that character. So, did you have any problem with the rights of the title of the movie?
Yes.
It would be like me naming a movie, you know, a Forrest Gump or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know.
Don't do that, by the
that,
way.
You
just let
I mean?
Me give you some legal counsel.
Or Spider-Man.
No, it's a good question.
A more apropos thing.
Yeah, it's a good question. And for the record, we were in production on Supergirl well before we knew about the TV show.
But the character's been
the
around
character
for
has
yeah,
been
sure.
around.
Many, many years.
But so we have spoken to our lawyer about this, and what they determined is because Supergirl is this her nickname that her parents gave her when she started lifting, and that it's so inherent to her character and to the story that we can use the name. And
sounds like you're ready for a fight. I mean, sounds like you've talked about this.
And so somebody collected spiders and say, and he was a kid, right. A boy, and you called the movie Spider-Man.
Spider-Boy. You know? Oh, I see, Spider-Man, right.
Yeah. Right, and it would be like, right, would Marvel, Disney have a problem
No, I
with
think
that?
You bring up a good point, and I think maybe they're sort of waiting
the
for
Jewish
the fight.
The Jewish version would be Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, it was something that we considered, and we thought about alternative names, and nothing really stuck.
Good, let him come after you. It'll only help the movie. So this is the premiere. Have you been talking to distributors, and is there some interest? And give us some inside scoop now.
Yeah,
because you're schmoozing here. Tell us what it's like. You come to a thing like this. You sit down with idiots like us, but mostly you're talking to people that can help you sell the film. So how's that going?
You don't have a distributor yet.
No, so this is the world premiere of the film on Sunday. It actually hasn't premiered
yet. So as Bill said, how do you shop it around? How do you sell it?
So we are working with a sales agent who's been great, and they are going out to distributors and sending them the film. I'm hopeful some of them will be here in the audience on Sunday. And then that conversation starts. So we've had some talks already as we've been in production and some interest from some pretty good distributors. And
is it different now because of Netflix and Amazon and all these other platforms that are coming out and looking hungrily for content?
Yeah,
and
I would think it'd be easier, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that the landscape for documentary filmmaking.
There's a million. Crackle, there's a ton of them. You know?
I think it's a really exciting time to be making content, particularly documentary content, because there are so many avenues, and, you know, VOD streaming has become so popular. And I think it's an exciting opportunity, and these companies, they have funding, they have money, and they're excited for content. So as a filmmaker, I think the opportunities are much more than they were a few years ago.
On paper, I mean, from your description alone, it sounds very interesting. A 97-pound Orthodox, modern Orthodox Jewish girl, you know, being a champion.
Who can lift, I guess, is it a spoiler to say how much she can lift? When you said about three times, I'm guessing
pounds.
Maybe the movie makes it sort of a secret about how much she can and what the world record is.
She's improving constantly.
How old is she?
Right now, the film follows her from the age of 11 to 14, actually, and goes into her backstory from the time she started lifting at 8. She just turned 15 last month.
What was the closest kid or young person doing it before she came along?
I don't know. We went to a bunch of contests with them. There were some other teenagers, like, around her age, but they were all boys. The youngest woman was probably in her 20s that we came across.
What are you doing next? This is fascinating. This is going to get snapped up quickly here, and then you're going to be forced into the limelight and a multi-picture deal. And what's the next thing?
I'm very, very excited to be first premiering the film and letting that, you know, have its moment in the sun because it's been 3.5 years in the making.
And maybe a man who collects bats.
Yeah. I mean, I'm...
Batman.
Yeah. Exactly.
There you
right?
go.
I will only do super. I made a short film before this that is called The Birdman. Birdman.
Oh, really?
Before Birdman.
Well, you have a history of sneaking in before anything gets litigated.
The characters I follow just happen to have these nicknames, and that becomes the default title of the film. And it's six. So.
I wish we had nicknames.
She's going to do a movie about an inquisitive, a very inquisitive lady. She's going to call it Wonder Woman.
Woman. We have your career paths just all worked out for you.
Wonder Woman, that's right.
Well,
Wonder
Jessica,
Woman.
Thank you so much for joining
Bill has
us.
A question.
Oh, sorry.
Actually, how many documentaries are made about little girls, frankly?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I just came from the screening of The Eagle Huntress because I was very interested since it's a similar 13-year-old girl doing a very male-dominated, non-traditional thing in her culture. They're not that many, and I think we're seeing it more and more now that, you know, I think the women's empowerment movement and also the movement to have more equality for women in Hollywood and in the general world is becoming, you know, a larger movement. And so I think we're starting to see more films about this. But in general, you don't see young girls as the lead character in a lot of films. And especially, you know, in mainstream Hollywood films. So I'm hoping that that trend is going to pick up more and more. And
just a last question before you go, how's she taking it? How's she, is she doing, you know, considering she had a film made about her when she was 11 and now she's 15, like, is she dealing with it, all of this kind of okay?
Yeah, well, as we said, this is the start of it. So they're going to be arriving Sunday morning during their first interviews about the film. And I think they're really excited. They actually haven't seen the film yet. So they're going to see it at the premiere.
Well, I think it's safe to say no one will cross her.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
before you go, if you're looking for another subject for a documentary, you're familiar with the actress Doris Day?
Yeah.
Well, she hasn't been really done anything in many, many years, but apparently she lives up in the somewhere in Hollywood and she collects a lot of cats. And what can we call that movie?
Oh, no.
Wow. All right, this is turning into a hostage situation. You're free to go. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having
another
me.
Another spectacular guest here at the Hamptons International
Cat
Film Festival.
Woman?
Yeah.
Just
all right.
So that's it for another year at the International, the Hamptons International Film Festival.
Fascinating.
Which is a great, great festival, I have to tell you. I saw, and I mentioned this on the podcast last week, I've seen every Oscar-winning Best Picture out here for the last 3 years. Last year, I saw Spotlight. The year before that, Birdman. And the year before that, I saw Argo.
Manchester by the Sea is out here. That's going to have some Oscar nods.
La La Land is out here. And so is Loving, and so is Moonlight. And I think, I bet you at least three, if not all four of those are going to be nominated for Best Picture.
So on behalf of your fabulous interview with Aaron Eckhart, I'm putting on my Sully hat now. Another piece of swag that we got.
That's right.
And
he was underutilized in Sully. He didn't have the biggest part in Sully. But we have there's also a Holly Hunter movie that's out here at the Hampton Film Festival this year. In addition to Loving, which is not a Holly Hunter,
Moonlight is here.
We've got 20th Century Women with Annette Bening is out here this year, and a lot of stuff. So on behalf of Bill Brigoli,
that's me,
and Bill McCuddy,
I'm still here,
and Neil Rosen, thanks for sitting around talking pictures, and we'll sit around talking pictures with you next week.